I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, just when you thought the Lightning were dead in their Eastern Conference final, down 2-0 and headed to Washington, well, they came alive. The Bolts beat the Caps 4-2 on Tuesday night, and suddenly anything and everything is possible again. We'll break down Game 3 and tell you how the Stars came out on Tuesday in Washington. In the Tampa Bay Rays, they have a new pitcher.
As my friend Berman would say, Anthony Rubber Banda.
And he helped beat the Royals 6-5, their second win in a row in Kansas City. All that and more on this Wednesday edition of Sports Day Tampa Bay. I'm Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times, along with producer Steve Versnick. Before we get started on this podcast, let me tell you about our sponsor, Audible.com. Sign up now and get a free 30-day trial. And as a listener to this podcast, you'll get a free audiobook. Just go to audible.com/sportsday. That's spelled audible.com/sportsday. for a free 30-day trial and a free audiobook. Well, I know everybody is anxious to know what Tom Jones wrote in the Tampa Bay Times after this win by the Lightning. And here are his first words. I'm not going to read you the whole column. But it was basically down, way down, pretty much out, pretty much given up for dead. That's how the Lightning arrived in Washington. And that is true. As he went on to say, there's nothing you could take from those first two losses to make you think the Bolts had a chance in this series. But Steve, man, the Stars did come out. Start with the captain, Steven Stamkos, ripping his one-timer on the power play for the first goal, Nikita Kucherov doing the same. How about Victor Hedman with a goal and two assists, or the kid, Braden Point, with a huge goal to make it 4-1. And last but not least, Andrei Vasilevskiy, 36 stops, and that's after giving up 10 goals in just five periods in the first two games. And if you didn't know he had it in him, well, he did, and they needed it. This was what you hope for, Steve, and that your biggest players play big.
The Stars came out tonight. You're absolutely right. And those shots by Kucherov and Stamkos on the power play, I mean, top shelf, not a chance in the world Holtby had at stopping those. Right by defenders who were kind of shielding him too. Just incredible shots. Yes. Hedman was fantastic tonight. Vasilevskiy was fantastic. Ovechkin and Kuznetsov had 21 shots between them.
Say that again. Think about that, man. Two guys on one line that they haven't been able to handle still. 21 of the 36 shots, and they were all pretty good chances. And Vasilevskiy stopped predominantly, I think, damn near most of them or all of them, right? I mean, neither one of those guys scored.
Yep.
So it was, I mean, they still haven't found an answer. I'll be honest with you, when this game started, Steve, the Lightning did not have a shot for the first 6 minutes. I thought it was going to be more of the same. I thought they were being dominated. They had trouble getting it out of their own zone. No shots on goal.
They had the one shift that was, it was about the third shift of the game.
They couldn't
get out of their zone. But other than that, they weren't getting a lot of shots on net, but I thought they were carrying possession and playing pretty well other than the one shift early on. And then they got the power plays, and they took advantage of it, which they've done. But the good thing is tonight they got two 5-on-5 goals tonight. So that's three in the series now after scoring two tonight. So that's a good sign. That's what you want. I mean, the power play, you want to score. You want to create momentum. That's important.
Sure.
But your 5-on-5 play, which is what they dominated against Boston. I mean, that's why they manhandled Boston, was Boston couldn't play them 5-on-5. And Washington's been dominating them in this series. Until tonight.
Until Tuesday night, they only had, I believe, one goal full strength, right?
Correct.
In the two games that they played. So, yeah, that was big. But once they took over, once they got it going, man, Washington was sort of on their heels. And in watching the broadcast, a lot of comments sort of about how the Capitals, you know, it was a here we go again. I mean, and this is what Washington is known for. I mean, every Washington fan I know, is waiting for the sky to fall. And even though they, went down and won both games in Tampa you know, with a chance to win game three. I mean, if they take that at 3-0, you know, the Lightning would have to win four straight, and you pretty much figure that's not going to happen. But and I know Washington, I mean, they didn't play their best game. I was kind of surprised, though, just how, you know, people thought they were flat. I don't know if they were flat. I just think the Lightning played better.
Yeah, I think the Lightning's game was much better. It was much simpler. They were definitely, you know, they even mentioned on the broadcast, the NBC crew, that, you know, Washington started trying to make a bunch of stretch passes and hope passes.
Right.
And things they weren't doing in the first few games, which the Lightning mm-hmm. were making the smart plays and not trying those, which is what they were doing the first two games.
Exactly.
You know, and they always say about the road, you know, you kind of keep it simple in that. It's the last nine games in the Stanley Cup playoffs, the NHL put this out. The last nine games in the Stanley Cup playoffs, road teams are 8-1.
That's incredible.
Outscoring the home teams 33-13.
That's just incredible. And I, you know, there's something about the expectation that comes with playing at home, that your fans are hyped mm-hmm. up. You wonder if they play to the crowd a little bit too much. And on the other side of the ice, you know, you have a team that just becomes sort of white noise. You know what I mean? The focus becomes a little better, I think. You know, you don't want to give more momentum. They've already got the crowd into it as it is. And so maybe that's why you play, you know, simple, better hockey. But
Marty St. Louis put an interesting tweet out tonight about this.
And did
one of the advantages of playing at home is, so when you send players on the ice, there's a mm-hmm. stoppage of play. The visiting team has to put their team on the ice first. So the home mm-hmm. team can then match that and say, okay, you put this line out, we're going to put these players out to match it.
Yep.
Marty St. Louis' tweet, and I'll read it here. My opinion. I used to love playing on the road because most of my coaches wouldn't worry about matching lines because they didn't have to the last change. I always felt I played more on the road. Checkers on the road, chess at home. I like both, but checkers is more fun.
Well,
you just kind of play. You just and you know what he's saying is the coaches overthink it at home.
Yeah.
Instead of putting your best players on the ice and let them play.
Yeah.
You know, your best players may get less shifts because you're trying to match to a line. Where on the road, you're just putting your players out there. Whether he's right or not, I don't know. But in his opinion, it was easier to play on the road because you played more.
Well, I would agree with the near Hall of Famer. But I will say that it looked like John Cooper did try a few different lines tonight. And you can talk about sort of, you know, how he made some adjustments just to try to get them going. Was it Yanni Gourde was playing?
Well, some mind games, too. In the morning skate, it was the normal lines. There was no changes at morning skate.
Right, right.
So he come out tonight, and he starts with the Paquette-Callahan-Kunitz line. Mm-hmm. So that line, the fourth line, stayed the same. That's where he started. Mm-hmm. Then he puts out the Stamkos. Next he put out the Killorn,
line, right?
Killorn, Cirelli, and Miller.
Oh, that's right.
Mm-hmm. Line. And so you say, whoa, Miller's out here. And then it was Palat with Kucherov and Stamkos, and then the point Johnson and became Gourde line.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought the lines were effective tonight, and they scored more 5-on-5 goals and played a much better game, shaking the lineup up a little bit. But he played some mind games where, you know, whether it actually affects it or not, I don't know. But, you know, he didn't show it at morning skate. It came out tonight, you know, and you had to wait till you saw the game to play. Not even the starting lineup, because you started your fourth line, which you didn't change.
Yeah, I mean, it was a good move by Coop. I mean, you wondered if there would be, you know, some response, if they would do everything the same, and they didn't. They mixed up a few things. The other thing that, you know, in the keep it simple, stupid approach was it was obvious that they had turned down a lot of shots. I think during the broadcast they said that they went back and Cooper or somebody with the Lightning had counted 23 chances that they turned down, chances to shoot the puck, put it on net, make a play. Instead, they were trying to, you know, make that perfect pass, set somebody else up. And tonight, I thought, Steve, that they really threw a lot of pucks on the net, as many as they could, and just tried to go hard, you know, and that sometimes that's the best way to go about it.
Look, it doesn't, they don't count, you don't get bonus points for fancy goals.
No.
It goes in the net, it counts, period.
Yep.
So,
that's it.
And in the playoffs, you know, there's a lot of players will tell you this, you know, the best pass is a rebound.
Dirty goals, yeah.
Yeah, shoot for a rebound, because that's when everyone's scrambling and you get a lot more open mm-hmm. nets and a lot cleaner shots than trying to fancy pass it.
Right, right. And it was kind of that way on Braden Point's goal. I mean, actually, That was a weird one. It was like Tyler Johnson is behind point, and he kind of shoves the puck underneath him, and he shoots it between the guy's legs, and it was a great goal by Point, who's
a strong goal, too. I mean, you know, for him to withstand, phenomenal. You know, I mean, you got a scrum kind of there and leaning on him, and he's not a big guy.
Right.
But held his own and shot the puck through, and you know, Holpe didn't have a chance there. You can't see it. He screened.
Yeah, it was – by the way, that's his goal number 6, I believe. And since game 2 of the Boston series, he's a plus 7. Remember how the Boston series began with that line in Braden Point. So that's how big this kid has played, like a wily veteran. And, you know, I think it's important that, you know, when you get to these moments, and Steven Stamkos said before the game, he called it a gut check time, and that's exactly what it was. You know, if you want to make this a series, you're down 2-0, having lost both at home. This was pretty much as close to a must-win as you're going to get throughout these entire playoffs. And, you know, I think that it's times like these that you need your best players. You know, you always want them to play big in the postseason. But we began the playoffs wondering, you know, where is Stamkos? He hasn't really shown up in this series. A little bit in Boston. Well, he's been in this series from the get-go. You can feel him when he's on the ice every single time. Kucherov is playing big, of course. I mean, and that's what they needed tonight. I mean, they needed their A players to play like A plus players. And you know, there really wasn't a drop off from the Caps front line, as you just mentioned, 21 shots, just between Ovechkin and Kuznetsov, yeah, him alone. So you know, they didn't take their foot off the accelerator, but you got a much bigger effort. And just a winning effort from the Lightning's big stars. And so that bodes well, I think, moving forward. I mean, when those guys are playing with confidence, when they're becoming a problem, then everybody else sort of works around them. And you know, that's when your depth and guys like Braden Point and the other lines really come to play. I mean, Callahan and those guys did what they do. They took the bodies. I mean, they were physical. They created problems on both sides. And they were terrific. And it's so funny. It's nights like these you go, well, okay, then anything's possible. You know, it's a 2-1 series. Typically, you'd like to get, you know, one out of the two. But now that you're down 0-2, you know, Thursday night becomes just a complete series changer. I mean, if there's any way that the Lightning come out and duplicate what they did on Tuesday night, if they do that Thursday and they come back to Tampa 2-2,
yeah, it's a three-game series with home ice advantage.
With home ice, yeah. You're looking at you know, a chance that if you go 7, that's when the home ice. Now, you know, at that point, both teams would have lost both their games on home ice, so I'm not so sure that that's much of an advantage, as you mentioned when you gave that stat about the playoffs. But at some point, you know, I think it will become one. And it is one in game 7. You've talked about that no matter what happens in a series – a game 7 is home ice advantage. Mm-hmm.
A couple worries about tonight. Stamkos in the third period on a Braden Coburn shot took a puck off the knee. He did come back in the game. He had ice on it and was kind of wrapped in the post game. And Tyler Johnson took a bad cross check late. He left the ice for a little bit, did come back. But as some people on Twitter were saying, body maintenance day for Tyler Johnson tomorrow.
Yeah, it was. It got really chippy there at the end, as many of these games do, but – man, Washington, do they have the reputation of just being a little dirty, a little, you know?
Well, like Tom Wilson does for sure. Tom Wilson does for sure. And it's funny because he took a check in the first period from Strawman,
yeah.
And he's saying that the league needs to look at it and possibly suspend Strawman for it. It was an un-Strawman-like hit.
It was a bad play.
You know, the cross check or boarding in the back, but he kind of raised up and lifted too, which is not Strawman like, mm-hmm. which was kind of bizarre. You know, I'm sure the league will look at it. I don't think it's suspendable. Maybe he gets a fine for it. It'll be interesting, the one on Tyler Johnson, because that's a couple hits this series that he's had. And you know, that was a high too. That's the thing. It was a high cross check near the head area on both.
Right. Yeah, you mentioned Stamkos came back, but that's one of those that could feel worse the next day, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, depending on exactly what the problem is, but
if it's
hiring for your small business, if you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Bruise. I mean, that's okay, but
yeah.
But he did take a shot, and we know he's had troubles, you know, with his knees and
yeah. And the shame is he's you know there was injuries nagging him late in the season. We know he missed the last few regular season games. Mm-hmm. The beginning of the playoffs, he did not look himself completely. But lately, you can tell he's more healthy, and probably yes. Those short series has helped that. I mean, 2 5-game series has given him a lot more rest. Which can help, you know, he's definitely appeared much healthier in this series than the last two, which is a good sign. You hope this doesn't hinder that now with a knee injury or a bruise or, you know, I assume it's just something like a bruise. But
right. Well, you know, for a day now, the Caps, they got more to battle than the Lightning. They're going to be battling same old Caps. And, you know, that's just going to be the narrative in Washington. They've been through this before, not in the Eastern Conference Finals in about 20 years, but – again, every Washington fan I know of every sports team up there is thinking exactly that, that here they go. Boy, they really set us up this time. Eastern Conference Finals, win 2 on the road, come home, and we get, you know, what they're saying is not a good effort. I think the Lightning played really, really well. And I thought, you know, what had to happen in addition to, you know, guys like Kucherov and Stamkos and them, again, was Vasilevskiy, who – was so solid. And when you consider that, you know, no matter how it happened, 10 goals in 5 periods would do a lot to shake a lot of goaltenders' confidence, especially one as young as he is. And I don't know that he could have been any more solid than he was on Tuesday night. He stopped a lot of tough chances.
He was fantastic. And, they gave up the one goal in the second period. But then in the third period, the other goal was a 6-on-5 goal. They had pulled their goalie. So it's kind of like a power. It's not a power play because you got more players on the ice. But – they've got one extra attacker for the
man
goal.
Advantage.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, and the other good thing tonight, I mean, the penalty kill.
Yes.
You know, we know Washington's power play is lethal, much like Boston's was last series, and the penalty kill tonight played very well. I mean, the Caps had
from the first one.
You know, yeah. I mean, they had several power plays, but you know, many of them were just kind of, you know, they didn't get a ton of great chances and momentum from it. Most of the night. So Lightning's penalty kill tonight was fantastic, which is, you know, they definitely won the special teams battle, getting 2 power play goals. Their penalty kill was good, and that helps you mm-hmm. win.
Well, right now, there is not a hotter power play than the Lightning's. That's the one thing that they're smoking hot right now. And so if they can keep that up and then play better 5-on-5 as they did, that was the encouraging thing is the way they were able to match and actually better Washington. So we'll see. I mean, look, so far so good. It's a series now. It's officially a series. It's coming back to Amalie Arena. That's got to be, you know, something that the Lightning can hang their hats on and their fans, and no matter what happens on Thursday, but a chance to tie this series. And if they do that, if series has momentum, boy, they're going to have an awful lot when they get back here to Tampa, and the doubters will be out big time for the Washington Capitals. So it's good. I'm glad we got a series. It's something that's going to be entertaining to watch. And, you know, it's good to see those guys, you know, rise to the occasion. They've been such a good team all year that you figured that they weren't just going to lay down and you know, go down 3-0. But they needed a big effort, and they got it, and they got it from all their best players. So game four on Thursday.
Game four is Thursday, 8 o'clock on NBC Sports Network. And then game 5, which will be at Amalie Arena, is at 7:15 on NBC right after the Preakness on Saturday. So NBC is happy they have their post-Preakness programming.
Yeah, actually, that'll be great. And then you were you did the watch party in Ybor City, right?
Yeah, Ybor City was a watch party. They had 3 big screen TVs set up in the middle of 7th Avenue, which they had shut down all day.
Good crowd?
Oh, great crowd out there. You know, had some threat of some rains. It sprinkled a little bit here and there, but nothing major. Great mm-hmm. crowd. The crowd, of course, excited about all the goals and went nuts. And you know, Lightning do a great job with those productions. If you've never been out to a watch party that they do, not only are they showing, you know, things on the TV, but they got the DJs going, they've got prizes, they've got the, you know, Greg Wolf's out there as the MC, they're playing goal calls, they've got the air horn for the goals, that and the video production they do, I mean, it's top notch. It's a good time, and every round it gets bigger and bigger. And Thursdays will be at Curtis Hickson Park downtown.
Well, the next time they do it in Ybor, they should just do it at the Rays Stadium.
There you go.
It's going to be right there. Yeah. Right there, especially when the Rays are on the road. And how about your Tampa Bay Rays, man? They beat the Kansas City Royals again. That's two in a row now if you're keeping score at home.
They tried to blow this one.
Yes, they did. They absolutely did. It was a game that they – I think they had it in hand either 3-1, 4-1, I believe it was at one point, but much like the Tampa Bay Lightning. The scores were kind of following each other a little bit for a while there. But the big story of the night was this left-hander, Anthony Banda.
Rubber Banda.
I just, you know, Berman was around. This is his nickname, right? Anthony mm-hmm. Rubber Banda.
Absolutely.
He's got the rubber arm. He went five innings. He gives up two runs. This cat, man, looks like he's a smooth – he's got a very smooth delivery, a very live arm. Remember when Matt Moore first came up and he was throwing like 97, 98 every time he threw a fastball and he had that devastating changeup? Well, this is sort of what Banda has. Banda has just a live arm, lots of movement, just challenges guys, and then he's got this dead fish changeup to work off of that 95, 97. It is fun to watch him pitch, and he was the big piece. You know, everybody wondered that the Rays were sort of clearing house in the offseason. This was going to be the fire sale, and everybody's antenna went up when Steven Souza Jr., who was their MVP from the previous year, was traded to Arizona. Well, now we know why. This is the guy that they could not turn down, which is Anthony Banda. And when you saw him pitch, you got a pretty good idea of just what they see in this kid. And I guess now, as they move on to Anaheim, they got a game this afternoon at 2:15 to wrap up the Kansas City series, and then they go to Anaheim. And Banda apparently is going with them, so chance that he may start, like, on what, Sunday, I think?
Sunday would be his day. They have not committed to him starting, but he is on the trip with them to Anaheim and is staying with the team. He's not being sent back down to Durham.
Right, exactly. But the Rays did try to blow it. Their bullpen, you know, wasn't the lockdown that it needed to be. And in fact, the Royals tied this game 5-5. Then it was the Rays, you know, scratching out a run. Denard Span with a hit to center field, or CJ Krohn popped out, and then eventually it came down to Joey Wendell singling home Johnny Field to put the Rays up 6-5.
And Johnny Venters gets the win, so his first win in many years. Obviously,
he's such a great story.
Pitching for the first time in years this year, so he got the win in the night, he pitched a scoreless eighth. So as the Rays scored in the ninth to win it.
And then the bad news is, however, Matt Duffy back on the shelf a little bit. He had to leave the game with hamstring tightness. That's the last injury he had, and he's been swinging a hot bat. I mean, he's come back up and hit the ball very, very well. Had a couple RBIs the previous night, and so he had to leave the game. And then Gomez also has a groin strain, I guess.
Yeah, he left with a groin. Both are day-to-day. Both didn't seem too serious after the game, but, you know, time will tell.
The only thing about the hamstring is, as Levy Smith would say, oh, Rick, a hamstring? That Rick, there's no – you don't know what's going with a hamstring. That could be 5 weeks. That could be –
Was this like a high ankle sprain in hockey? Because that's what – high ankle sprains are the worst in hockey, so.
Yeah, I don't know. Hamstrings are weird. But the tight, you know, hamstring tightness, he tweaked that thing. The fact that he had it before is probably not a good sign that it's bothering him again. But we'll see what happens to Matt Duffy. They certainly need his bat in the lineup. So they play 2:15, as I mentioned, this afternoon, final game of the series, and it's on Anaheim. Jake Faria against the Angels. Jason Hamill, former Ray, not doing so well this year. He's 0-4 with about a 6-something ERA. So that's what's going on with them. Also in baseball, did you see this? Robinson Cano, don't you know?
Wow.
80 game suspension for PEDs.
Yeah, he took a masking agent, one that's used to pretend. So the thing about that is, so he got busted for taking a masking agent. When you're busted for those, you're not suspended automatically.
No.
They now go through a process, and baseball has basically determined he was using it to mask something. And he was appealing it. He has now dropped the appeal, and that's why it became public today.
Right.
He says he, you know, took it while he was in the Dominican Republic. A doctor gave him something. He didn't realize he shouldn't have, you know, the usual spiel. It's usually the Dominican Republic that causes these problems, from back to A-Rod and everybody else.
Well, yeah, because you can buy that stuff down there. It's not illegal. Let's start there, okay? Like, there used to be a lot of that steroids coming through Mexico and San Diego, too, when, you know, when guys used it out there. But, yeah, that's part of it. Listen, Robinson Cano is a first-ballot Hall of Fame player. I mean, from a statistical standpoint, there's no – in my mind, at least, he has really good chance.
Is he now?
Not now. I mean, look, steroids have gotten all these guys. Tell me which steroid guys made it to the Hall of Fame. I mean, this really, really will damage his legacy, his career. You know, how do you deny it? I mean, how do you say, well, yeah, I screwed up. I was taking something. I didn't know it was a masking agent. I mean, I guess he's got a few years to claim his innocence. But, you know, and then from a financial standpoint, not that anyone's having a telephone for him, he makes $25 million a year. But this is going to cost him about $11.5 million. And then, you know, you're sitting here, if you're Seattle, you're wondering, okay, well, I think they still have almost $100 million left on this contract. So not having Robinson Cano, who was rehabbing anyway, I guess he has had a broken wrist or something like that, some kind of issue. But in any event, not having him in the lineup for the rest of the year, you know, certainly hurts their team and hurts Robinson Cano. But, yeah, I mean, I know people that are baseball writers that vote for the Hall of Fame will not vote for a player that's been touched by steroids. You know, again, assuming that a lot of guys have done it, not many have been caught lately because the suspensions are so punitive like this one. And so Robinson Cano now, I think he'll be stained the way, you know, A-Rod and Barry Bonds and a lot of those, you know, Roger Clemens are.
A lot of guys that haven't been busted for it.
And right. Yeah, exactly.
And he has.
Yeah,
and
he has. You know, so, yeah, there you go.
A lot of the guys that are being kept out of the Hall of Fame were not busted for steroids.
Never tested positive.
They're accused of it.
Right. Well, their hat size went from 7 1/4 to 7 5/8.
I'm not saying they didn't use it. I'm saying that
no,
you have no proof.
You're right. You have no proof except you don't believe what you're seeing.
I don't believe what I just saw.
So, yeah, I mean, and I think Cano's in that boat as well. Well, it was an exciting game three for the Lightning, and they are back in this series, and I know the Lightning fans got to be pumped about that, and they'll have another chance to see their team at least in a game six at Amalie Arena.
Game five
in Amalie Arena, yep. which will be great for them, and I'm sure it'll make a lot of people happy here in Tampa that's going to be the case, and maybe they come back tied 2-2. We'll have to see. So listen, we're glad that you're with us. We're here every Monday through Friday. And we're going to be following the Lightning and previewing, of course, their next game on Thursday night. So you want to stay tuned for that. Also, on I guess it would be Wednesday, mm-hmm. I'm going to have a chance to talk with Mike Smith, the Bucks defensive coordinator. We have not spoken to him since they made all those changes on defense and on the defensive line. We have access to the defensive coaches today, and then tomorrow on Thursday, we'll have a chance to talk to the offensive coaches as well as offensive coordinator Todd Monken, who is now a full-time offensive coordinator, no longer coaching receivers. So you want to stay tuned for that and those interviews, as well as we still have stuff left over from the rookie minicamp. We'll hear from some rookies, do a little bit of NFL to mix in with getting you ready for what will be a pretty exciting, I would think, game four of the Eastern Conference Finals. So you can always reach us on Twitter. We appreciate the feedback. You can get us at SportsDayTV, or you can reach me at NFL Stroud, or you can email me at rstroud@tampabay.com. Love for you to rate and review this podcast. Where can they get this podcast, Steve?
So anywhere you get podcasts from, whether it's iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, or the files are on SoundCloud, or you can always go to tampabay.com/sports. Latest episodes are always posted there, too.
So we appreciate you listening. It's a very early morning as we do this podcast.
Yes, we're off to bed. We are
headed to sleep, so do not call us after you listen to this, please. We'll talk to you in the afternoon. I'm Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times. For Steve Versnick, have a great early morning, afternoon, or wonderful Wednesday, however you want to say it. Thanks, everybody.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.